Are we ready to actually start the episode? I've clicked record, so
Well, I just assume we're rolling for a bit to get like a cold intro, as you like to be, like.
Yeah,
to do.
I like doing them, but if none happen naturally, I'm not like I don't think there's a need to force them.
So. He wants it to be organic.
Yeah, I care about my craft, you know,
of which you are obviously a master.
Hey, wow. What are you saying that sarcastically?
Maximum sass there.
Yeah. Jeez, oh.
So right. Tom, like, if this was Skyrim, Tom would be getting a little pop-up. Sasscraft increased by one.
Ding, ding, he's already, ding,
he's a,
ding.
I was just going to say, he's already maxed that stat, yeah. Right?
Well, no, like, I think he's reset it so that he can level it up again, you know?
Like new game plus sport. Mod.
Yeah, yeah. He's just, you know, he's really cheap that way, where he's just using the same path to level up all the time.
Nice. Hello and welcome to the Unlucky Frog Gaming Podcast. You are joined by your usual hosts here, Tom Mannering.
Hello.
Ben Porter.
Yo.
And myself, Josh Hartley. We're going to start, Tom, how have you been doing this week?
Yeah, I'm all right. I've been busy with one thing or another. Some role-playing stuff and some work stuff, which is... the less fun side of things. No. But I'm good, thank you very much.
Good.
Tom's boss just listening to this as a wee tear rolls down his
cheek. Single tear.
Genuinely thought he loved working, you know.
I do, in fairness, really enjoy my job. But like anyone, my hobbies are my true passion.
Yeah. Sure, yeah. Sure. Like see whenever you hear someone just we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago, weren't we, Tom? Like, people who say, like, oh, I couldn't wait to get back into the office after my holiday.
Yeah, and, like, I hate that.
When people say that, and just in my head, I'm just going, yeah, bull.
You are either a liar or a very sad individual.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. If someone says that right away, it says to me, oh, you're an absolute thrill to be around then, I bet.
Can't wait to crunch those numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on what you do. I mean, check out this smooth segue into catching up with Ben. Ben, for example, full-time miniature painter. So,
yeah, that's true.
Although, has that been a bit more work this week with what you've been doing?
Yeah, I've been painting tanks, which aren't my favourite. But I have to say, I'm getting towards the finish line, and I've been painting a Space Marine Gladiator, and I'm at the point where I'm stepping back to look at it, and I'm like, that actually looks pretty cool. I'm starting to see the appeal here.
The appeal, you know? Alright, okay, yeah. Okay.
Particularly the Gladiator, because the Impulsors, which are like the dedicated transport, they just kind of look like a hovercraft. Whereas like the Gladiator's got a massive turret on the top with like a twin Gatling gun and all that. Like, yeah, that is cool.
Yeah. Here's the thing, right? I like tanks, but I think I've never painted one myself, and the idea of painting them seems quite, I don't know, is intimidating like the right word? Can you be intimidated by a miniature?
You probably can.
Oh,
wow.
Meow.
Wow. Okay. All right. Tom hitting out with the haymaker in like a mere minutes into the episode.
Now we started.
Straight off the bench with an absolute.
Come out swinging.
That's like that moment in the Royal, in like a Royal Rumble. Like where like a beloved wrestler comes out, just runs into the ring and immediately takes someone out in seconds.
That's it.
Yeah.
What were we talking about?
Josh being intimidated by a tank mini.
Yeah. Don't laugh. Don't legitimize his joke.
Quivering on the other side of his room.
No. Do you know what it's I mean, though?
Like, you run into the room like that. What's wrong, Josh? You get the baseball bat, and he's handshaking, pointing at the box.
Okay, guys, okay, it's funny. It's funny, but we're flogging a dead horse here.
So, we're not.
Back to actual discussion.
Yeah.
But do you know what I mean? It's like it's a bigger undertaking than like just painting regular.
No, it definitely is because for one, you've got a lot of big surface areas.
Mm.
You got a whole lot of like panel lining and edge highlighting to do. And if you're wanting to do it properly, you're probably going to have to do it in a lot of different sub-assemblies. So, jokes aside, it is quite an undertaking if you're not, like, 100% confident with stuff like that.
I think the thing I always found tricky about painting a good few tanks is actually making them interesting, because you've got a lot of flat surface with not a lot to do. Like, if you're not a freehand expert, you know, for adding like sigils or whatever, and you don't want to have transfers left, right and center, you can end up with a lot of flat space that's mm-hmm. not really very interesting to look at.
Yeah. But I think you probably have some thoughts on this as well, Tom. Even transfers, if you're not used to that, that can be pretty intimidating, mm-hmm. like, because they're not cheap, for one. If you accidentally tear it or it folds or something like that when you're trying to put it on, that's that can be soul destroying.
There's nothing worse as well where you're trying to obviously line the transfer up with like the angles of the vehicle, and you've kind of done it all, and you take a step back and it's just that like that degree out, and you're never gonna not notice that going forward.
It's
a pain.
It's a bit better now because AK Interactive, I've got a bottle of its like decal softener, so you just once you've the way I do it is I do gloss varnish to help the transfer adhere to the surface, transfer on, and then you put the decal softener over it, so it means that it does what it says in the tin. It softens the decal so that it naturally just adheres to the contours of the surface you're putting on, so it's good for like shoulder pads and stuff like that aren't completely flat.
Yeah,
so they do make it a little bit easier, but there's some transfers that are a nightmare to work, where it says like, right, before you put it on, you know, cut a spider's web pattern on the back in order to make it, and you say, nope, I'm out.
Like, I'm done. This is way doing this freehand would be easier.
Like, yeah, no, there are some times with some transfer kits where I do think that, like, I wish I'd just done something freehand instead of this.
Yeah,
it's fair.
So, other than your tanks, have you been up to much this week?
Well, you popped by last week, but I said I wasn't going to mention it because I'm not quite ready to talk about it. But I've been building a crystal fortress to varying degrees of success, because I misunderstood the instructions.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't because they come with these like silicon balls that you're supposed to put. It's hard to explain without showing you it, but basically it's clear plastic and it locks together, and you put the silicon ball into the socket, and then that goes into the slot, and that's what locks the pieces together.
Provides like the overall tension within the box to keep
It's a really neat system, but I found that it was really not forgiving of mistakes.
So just to be clear, because I'd never heard of this company before, Crystal Fortress is not a terrain piece, which is what I thought you were talking about when you first mentioned it.
The idea is, so I have one in my hand here to show to mm-hmm. Tom. But it's actually, so it comes flat pack, but it's a display case for your miniatures.
That's nice.
So the idea is that, you know, you can take that to shows, tournaments, and you can just have all your guys there. And they actually give you kits to magnetize the bottom of it if you so desire. But they're all modular, and all the bits of various sizes, they all stack together quite nicely. But the difficulty I had was in like pushing the bits together. I found the plastic was so brittle that I actually snapped a couple, even though it warns you in the instructions, like, you know, do not use excessive force. There were times I didn't feel that I was particularly applying excessive force, and I had a couple of breakages.
Yeah,
but I did get used to it. I did get used to it eventually, but I think for what they cost as well, like I'd said to Josh, it takes a long time to build it, and I think for what you're paying, you'd really expect it to be like pre-assembled.
Mm.
Yeah, and so obviously you're still working on that review that you're doing for Foe Hammer. So when you're ready, we'll provide the link so that our listeners can get your full thoughts on it as a product. So
yeah, so I'll be doing the review with Ross, who is the editor in chief of Foe Hammer. He gets sent a batch of it, and then I get sent a batch, and I'm going to see if I can fit my entire Fire Slayer army in there, which is a fair size now. So
yeah, good. Well, we've got quite a bit of news to talk about this week. I think like the main thing that we're going to be chatting about is we've had another Games Workshop reveal. This one very much centered on Age of Sigmar and the linked games to that setting. But before we dive into that, we've got a couple of other bits and pieces of news to cover. Ben, should we maybe start with the new Zombicide expansion? Is it an expansion or is it a standalone?
I think it's technically like a new edition. So,
right.
Cool Mini or not have taken to Kickstarter and they're launching yet another iteration of Zombicide. This one is called Undead or Alive and it's Wild West themed. And I've never played a Zombicide game. I don't really know why we need so many iterations of them, but $1.04 million begs to differ, I guess.
Yeah, that's a pretty successful Kickstarter. So
yeah, the people of Kickstarter stand in very much direct opposition of you there, buddy.
Yeah.
I agree with Ben. Like I've never played Zombicide. I hear it's quite a fun game, but I'm not in a hurry to go out and I'm certainly not in a hurry to go out and back this. I'd rather just get like the regular version.
No, what you really want is the zombies game, just zombies. I remember how much you.
Oh my god!
One.
Right? Why would you like? That triggers like post-traumatic stress.
I think there are CIA outposts where they make like people like interrogate and just play that to break them, you know.
Just lock you in a room with nothing, and in the middle there's just a box zombies.
just like, right, the waterboarding isn't working. Get the zombies.
I hear that's what Priti Patel is planning to introduce to police interrogation tactics.
Yeah. She's definitely evil enough, that's for sure.
Yeah. that's on Kickstarter. We'll provide the link. I'm assuming there's still plenty of time for people to back it should they wish to do so.
Yeah, it's early days. Yeah, I think there's still about another month left in the campaign. So
cool.
But it's the classic Kickstarter game, right, where it comes with loads and loads of stuff, loads of add-ons. So if that's your bag, then have at it. But it's a no from me.
Yeah. Perhaps on something that looks a bit more interesting for us, there was another game that's been announced. I'm going to get this wrong. I'm going to sound like an idiot, but did you say it was Osprey that are working on this?
No, it's Footsore Miniatures. So it's the guys that they're probably the most noteworthy game is Mortal Gods, which is the ancient Greek skirmish game, and they've also done the Barons War, I think they do miniatures for games like Saga, you know, more sort of historical stuff. But right. They've launched a new game on Kickstarter called Savage Frontier, which looks really cool. It's the French Indian Wars, which is a period that doesn't get a whole lot of attention. So it's if you want to recapture the feel of the opening sequence of The Revenant on the tabletop, then this is the game for you.
It's an interesting setting. Like you say, it's a period of history that I don't think there's been an awful lot covered in like miniatures gaming. So it'll be neat to see what they do with that.
Yeah, and they're funded already, which is great to see. They had a 5,000 pound goal. They're at 18,000, just over 18,000, which
nice.
Is really nice because they're a small company. But it's 28mm scale, so for people that are sort of dyed in the wool wargamers, it's going to have a nice familiar nostalgic feel.
Yeah. So again, link in the show notes for the Kickstarter for that. Another bit of news that has come out is that the highly anticipated Metal Gear Solid board game no longer has a publisher now. So basically, we've had a series of delays on this game. And it's been revealed last week that the publisher IDW is no longer involved with the development. They've decided to not move forward with the board game, adding that basically blaming COVID. Now, I can't see any news outlets confirming this, but when I first saw this breaking on Facebook, there were a few people speculating that there might have been an issue with the license from Konami. The developer, Emerson Matsuchi, has said that he's going to try and go forward with it. He's in talks with Konami to just get the license himself so that he can publish it. And he stated that if there's an issue with the license, he's gonna publish the game but basically remove all the IP from the game, which good that he's able to go forward with that, but this was a crowdfunded game and everyone who's backed it on the understanding that it's gonna be, you know, a Metal Gear Solid board game, so I can't imagine they're all gonna be happy about that.
No, I think without the MGS license on it, it's gonna be very generic,
yeah,
which I think would take away some of the appeal. I certainly, if I'd backed a computer game specific board game and then someone was like, actually it's just going to be generic, you know, soldiers and robots, take it all.
Well, I think that's not just video game IPs but just any IP, right? Like if you backed like a game that was using the Batman license, like, you'd be pretty pissed if, like, halfway, like, after the fact that you've handed your money over, they say, it's not going to be Batman anymore. It's going to be our own superhero. And it's like,
it's going to be a game. It's going to be a billionaire like Jeff Bezos fighting prisoners. It's going to be great.
That's the game. Jeff Bezos versus the world.
Yeah.
Like,
Jeff Bezos versus the mentally insane. That's a popular game, right?
Jeff Bezos versus the underprivileged.
This is life imitating art now.
Yeah.
imitating life. But so yeah, again, we'll keep you up to date if he does find a publisher or if he's able to continue with that with the license. We'll keep you posted. But now on to the main event, another Games Workshop reveal. We've all just watched it. What overall, we'll go through each item individually, but overall, what did we think?
I was really excited for this going in because I'm very much Age of Sigmar enthusiast. So when I saw that Warhammer Quest was going to be in it right away, I was like, oh yeah, yeah, this is going to be good. So that was my feeling going in.
Mm-hmm. I think I was probably not the opposite side of the scale, but I was less excited because I'm not that Age of Sigmar enthused, but I do like Warhammer Quest, so I certainly got something from it, but I didn't come away doing backflips or anything.
And I was somewhere in the middle, as I usually am. But
you guys never watched the whole thing, though.
Yeah, no, I thought they were wrapping up, and apparently there was a little bit that we missed, like a teaser.
I said to Tom while you were away, while we were preparing for the show, I'm really disappointed in you, Tom, because as a Marvel fan, you should know you always stay till the end. There's always a little post credits thing.
Yeah.
And now I know.
Well, yeah, it shows us the teaser. We'll just get the teaser out of the way now, but it's a new what's the name of the
Bellicor.
Yeah. New Bellicor kit.
His name's Bellicor, Josh, okay.
Bellicor. Thank you. A new Bellicor kit, everyone. Which his kit probably falls into that category of that actually looks fine as it is, but they'll be able to do some really nice stuff with the new one.
Yeah, I said to Ben, I suspect they'll be ramping him up in size to make him a bit closer to a lot of the greater demons and things we're seeing now, because their scale is so much bigger than.
Yeah, well, you see the little Chaos Warrior on the base. He's going to be huge. This new Bellicor.
So that'll be cool. But the reveal started off with a bunch of
Tom's favourites.
Yeah, Tom's lads, the Lumineth Realm Lords. Right. Now, here's my feeling on the Lumineth Realm Lords in general, right? I find their model range to be very hit or miss. Like, I think some of the stuff looks great, and then there's some stuff that I'm like, oh, that looks a bit daft. Am I wrong on that, or?
I mean, you're wrong in that you're saying that some of it looks decent.
Wow.
I'm not going to go on about it because I am flogging a dead horse at this juncture, but it's the helmets. They're too busy, they're too big, and they ruin what could be an otherwise passable to good range of models.
Tom doesn't like a big helmet. He likes a modest helmet.
I do. I think, you know, anything beyond modest is too much. I just think
helmet.
I do, yeah, you know, just streamline.
Please stop.
If you look at, like, the majority of them, the helmets are at least, like, the extensions to their helmets are at least as big as their head again, if not more so. And I realize it's a fantasy game in a world of magic and you know, it's very high concept, but at the same time, I can't get past it. I just, every time I see it, I'm like, his neck would snap.
Yeah,
but it's magic, Tom. It's magic.
Don't have to explain anything.
Yeah. That's it. And but when you reach that point, right? Wait, sorry, you've triggered me.
Oh, he's triggered.
When you reach that point where you're just going, no, but it's magic, you know. And I know they're not saying that, but they may as well. When you say it's magic, you may as well just do away with any base of gravity, any rules of, you know, people need to eat to survive. You know, let's just do anything. Just anything you want. Let's just not have rules.
all because of a weird, like, cosplay helmet. This is what's caused this, everyone. Tom's questioning the nature of reality because of a helmet.
No, I think some of the models revealed today looked pretty cool. Although I will agree with Tom, like, I think if I was ever going to collect them, and it's not really an army that appeals to me, but I would be doing a lot of head swaps on them. But
If you're an elf fan, right? Like, there's so many elves in Age of Sigmar. Like, why would you go for Realm Lords? Like, for me, like I was saying to Josh the other day, like, if, you know, if, like, gun to my head, and like someone said that, you know, I need to pick an elf faction, it would be the Deepkin. hands down.
Mm-hmm. They are nice. They're really nice. And I think, like, by way of comparison, even on the same release schedule, if you look at those Lumineth models and you compare them to the sort of Wood Elf that's in Cursed City, they don't compare. That model is so much nicer and so much more grounded, I suppose, is the words I'm looking for. They just really annoy me. I will say, right, I'm going to slightly retract. I do think the piece of terrain that they're bringing out for them is really nice.
Yeah.
I will give them that, you know, because terrain doesn't have a helmet. So that's a good piece.
I mean, it has a roof. That's
I'm surprised
kind of
it
like
doesn't
helmet,
have some
right?
giant, you know, cow horned helmet on top of it or something for good measure.
The terrain looks really nice, though.
I was saying to Charlotte, like, I would even consider buying that just to have on the table, right?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Good. Definitely.
Do you know what it kind of reminded me of, Tom, is like the Dreaming City in Destiny?
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Kind of the floating islands and the water spilling off the side and everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
I see that.
The nice thing with it, I when we were watching the stream, I said to Tom, you know, I could picture using that in 40k as terrain for like some sort of Eldari. If you're doing an Eldari themed battlefield.
Out.
Why? What's wrong with that?
Ben's like, don't cross the streams.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, there's one more thing I want to just point out. The twins. I don't think any of us like the twins sculpt.
They are the worst model that they have done in a long time. I know Tom's got his weird obsession with helmets, his weird fixation, but for me it's like they don't even look good. So because there's a lot of models that we've said that it feels as though they've been designed by someone that's forgetting that someone's going to need to get that in and out of the back of their car. Like going to tournaments, you know, but you can almost forgive that because you know it's like, oh, it's Nagash, she still looks cool, or you know, it's Ilario on a giant beetle, that you know, it still looks awesome. These just look crap. They look like a Cirque du Soleil act. Like what? I mean, why?
It's funny, Ben, because that's the first thing you said to me when you came on afterwards, and when me and Josh were watching it, I said to Josh, "Why is a woman on top wearing her pajamas?" They just don't look. They're supposed to be these awesome twins that are like the scions of Tyrion and Teclis, and they just look very underwhelming. And I think Josh's comment on the woman on top is she looks like she's about to
about,
her
looks
owl.
Like exactly. She looks like she's about to punt that owl punt like that owl. Right
can,
in the top
you just
left
imagine
of the
like,
net.
You know, like this army deploys ready to battle, and then they appear. And then just like a dwarf on the other side, just like, you couple of fannies!
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
But moving on to some of the other Age of Sigmar specific reveals, we've got a couple of new characters for the Death faction, specifically one for Nighthorn, and my spoilers outside of Warhammer Quest or the Warhammer Quest stuff. My favourite model of the reveal was the new white-mounted White King, who looks excellent. I really liked how it called back to the old 90s one as well. It looks like he's wearing the same armour, but now with sculpting being what it is, just looking infinitely cooler.
Oh, quickly, we forgot to mention that the Lumineth Realm Lords are getting their second battle tome within a year.
Oh yeah. Oh sorry. They did say on stream though that all the new stuff, there will be a way of getting the war scrolls for them without having to buy the new battle tome. But then they didn't say how that was going to happen. So
you have to get the Warhammer 40k battle tome app. That's
oh my god.
The price you have to pay.
Do you know the frustrating thing with the Warhammer 40k app?
I've triggered Josh.
Here we go. Well, this is my helmet, right? This is my...
Not on stream!
Put it away, right. Josh!
This is my thing. The worst thing about the Warhammer 40k app is that there's an Age of Sigmar app, and the Age of Sigmar app, it works. Yeah. It's fine. It's like, it could be improved, don't get me wrong, but you can navigate it, you can use it to build your army, and you have all the information that you need. The 40K app just isn't functional, and it's like, I don't understand how. You've done it for another game, but and you, all you had to do was copy that. But
in this
day
and age, apps are so easy to build, and I use the term easy, you know, in context, because I appreciate if you don't know what you're doing, you don't. But they're so streamlined these days, and there's so many kind of maps out there to make a decent app, that the fact they have an app that's in beta, like, what, we're like 6 months down the line since that first came out, if not more. Might be longer than that now.
I might be wrong on this, but I'm pretty confident they never announced that it was a beta version of it until after they'd released it and everyone was complaining about it. So I imagine like Games Workshop HQ, they go, oh god, everyone hates this app. Just say it's in beta.
Yeah.
Nice save.
It's a bit
save.
Like the, it's like
nice
the meme
save.
With the guy slapping the sticker onto the leak, isn't it? You know, it's like Warhammer 40k app. Call it a beta.
Yeah, nice.
Plug that leak.
Nice.
Anyway.
Yeah, how do we, so do we think the new data, the data cards, sorry, but the war scrolls for the new Realm Lords, just a random thought that maybe a lot of these new models might be in a new box set that will contain all the war scroll information in all at once.
Maybe they'll even put the war scrolls in with the minis. That'd be a bit outside the box.
Yeah, they start doing that.
Yeah. So yes, back to the individual models that got revealed. I loved them. I like Death as a faction in Age of Sigmar, though, so I am very biased. But what did you guys make of them?
I really liked the new Gardas model, who's the Stormcast. Mm.
So, oh, I forgot about him as well. Yeah, he was great.
Yeah. And what's really nice about this is, like, they've pretty much just they've just taken inspiration direct from one of the Black Library covers. He's the same pose and everything, and he is hands down like the coolest Stormcast character. So it is nice to see this guy getting a model.
It is like the level of detail and the kind of the immaculate. Comparison to the cover is pretty uncanny as well. If you look at them side by side,
it's amazing.
Yeah,
it's
so
really
this,
good.
This is a guy that fought his way into the Garden of Nurgle and survived, so he deserves to have his own model.
It's a lush model. Sure, it's really nice. Like, I'm not a big fan of Stormcast in general, but I think a lot of the Stormcast do look a little bit static. Some of the characters, you know, some of them, not all of them. But some of them do look a bit static, but he has a lot of life to the model. And I think we kind of commented on it before. It doesn't look over designed either. You know, he's got a lot of character without being too busy.
Mm-hmm.
Which is nice.
Yeah, he just looks great.
Yeah. So so we got those reveals as well. In terms of Diachasm, we've got they've revealed
Whoa.
What have I skipped over?
The Nighthaunt Torturer.
Yeah, sorry, I said like I like the two death.
He's just rolled
them
into
minis.
One.
Sorry.
Oh, did you? Okay. The was it Cruelgast Cruciator? Man, that's some name.
Dumb name, awesome model.
I think. Sorry, I'm going to go back to Lumineth again briefly. I apologize. I'm not random about helmets. I did
do you like
find
this
it
helmet
funny. on the stream when the guys who are unveiling these models can't say the names of the characters that they're unveiling every time they got to one, and they were trying to kind of get the name out, and I'm like, you this is your guy's stuff and you can't say the name. What's your guy at home gonna be like?
No, you'd think that they would at least like go over their notes.
Yeah,
and they would just, you know, get a little, the designer would be like, right, this is how you pronounce it, and then just have the pronunciation next to your note, and then you
do it that way. Sorry, carry on.
Of the two death models, I like the Nighthaunt one better.
Fair enough. They're both great. It's just the White King has a certain nostalgia factor for me that I very much appreciate.
In a very rare move, I am going to agree with Josh on this one.
Yay!
I prefer the White King. It's a special day for you, Josh, if you want to take a minute just to
some swine soar past my window there, guys.
It happens. Tom agrees with me on some things on more than one occasion, I'm sure. I can't remember
a single one of them, but I'm sure it's happened.
But White King is going to be really popular for competitions and such. Mm. I think.
Oh yeah,
you'll be able to do a lot of different textures on him. I was even thinking what a lot of folks might do is file down that shield and go to town with some freehand on it. You know, even on the cloak, you could do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great looking model.
Yes, indeed. So, I haven't missed anything else. Like, I can go to Diachasm now, right?
Yep.
Yeah, cool. Diachasm, there's a Savage Orc, Savage Auric warband revealed. These guys look great as well. A lot of character in them. I was saying to Tom on the stream, I particularly like one has like is wearing like some clothing that he looks like he's made from lizard men, a singular lizard man. So which I thought was a nice touch.
They just look great, don't they? I mean, like, I don't think recently they've done a bad orc model.
I'm struggling to think of one.
Even in 40k and Age of Sigmar, like they've always had a very concrete idea of how like a Games Workshop orc looks, and they've never really strayed from that, and with good reason, because it just works. It just looks great.
Absolutely. What are you laughing at,
preparing
Tom?
To release Fallout 76, Ben. It just works. It just works. So, right, if you didn't see the Fallout 76 release, that won't make any sense. So I apologise. It's an in-joke for Fallout 76 fans and haters. Because it didn't just work.
I heard that much.
Don't shake your head at me, Josh. It's true.
I got as far as the screen where you had to punch your details in. I couldn't remember my Bethesda.net login. I was like, forget it.
What a disappointment.
Yeah. 0 out of 10 worst game
for
ever.
That crap, you know? It's like I finally put my son to bed to do filling in forms and stuff. No, thank you.
Bit of paperwork.
Shut this game down. Yeah.
Back on track to the reveal. I think the thing that we were all really excited for, and we got the full reveal of, was the new Warhammer Quest game. What did you guys think of the minis that they revealed for this then today?
This is an insta buy for me. Like, it's one of those ones where I don't even care what the price tag is. Like, I am gonna get this. And yeah. I think I knew from the get go that I was gonna love it. You know, like, it's got that whole gothic vibe to it. And actually, I don't know what you guys thought of this, but like, looking at a lot of the stuff, they've really their artists have really done their research, because there's a lot of Eastern European cues in these models.
Ah, that's cool.
The big bad. Mm-hmm. He's got like.
Oh yeah, he looks awesome.
Yeah, he's got the sort of rabbit fur hat, and the like the big baggy trousers with the curved swords.
Yeah.
And if you look at the skeletons, they've got the sort of pointed cumin style helmets. So it just looks amazing. So they it still feels like a traditional gothic undead vampire type setting, but they've still got their own sort of flair, their own take on it. It just looks incredible.
There's
a lot to talk about here. Should we maybe
break it down?
Go through the miniatures in sequence or something?
Well, I was going to say, should we maybe start with the eight heroes? And we've seen two of them already, the Witch Hunter and the Wood Elf. But we've got the rest of them look great. I mean, do you have? I don't have to ask, Ben. You're definitely going to be the Caradron, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And cool.
I like that they've really leaned into the sailor aesthetic with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a bit of a sort of like early 1800s sort of New England type feel to him, you know, with like the long coat, you know, the double-breasted jacket and the massive harpoon gun. He just looks so cool.
So I don't know who I'd play. I think the one that I like the look of the most, either the Witch Hunter or the Imperial Noble as well. And again, like they mentioned it on stream, but his sculpt is looks like a little bit of a callback to the Imperial Noble from, you know, the original Warhammer Quest from the 90s, which are nice. I like. I think that's a nice touch. How about you, Tom?
I don't know. I'm torn between like four of them, which is a lot. I like both the same two as you, Josh. The Witch Hunter and the Imperial Noble are both really nice. I also really like the Sigmarite Knight woman with the two-handed sword. She's got a really
captain
cool,
of the guard type.
Yeah, yeah. She's got a really cool aesthetic to her. But I also really like the kind of the creepy redeemed wizard necromancer guy as well. He's got he's got a really cool look to him as well. So I imagine this is one we'll probably end up playing together at some point, and I suspect if you guys are going the frontliners there, I'll probably lean into that wizard.
He's maybe a death wizard with the skull mask and the purple robes, doesn't he?
Reading between the lines, that's what I'm guessing.
I think they said on the stream actually that he and this is another thing that's cool. I don't know if you guys picked up on this, but all of these characters have got ties to the city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and the thing they'd said about the wizard was that he was a former colleague of the necromancer dude that they revealed earlier in the week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's a really to come out strong with eight really nice models like that. The only one I'm not so keen on is the Sigmarite wizard, the woman with the weird backpack.
Like a healer or something.
All of
the
others are really nice. The ogre's lovely. Yeah. The wood elf's cracking as well.
The ogre's the other one I'd consider playing just if I wanted to have. I'm assuming he's going to be no nonsense fun, like just, you know, run in, roll dice, see things die. So that appeals to me. How about, what do we think of the sort of minions then that we're going to be coming up against? We've got the bat swarms, rat swarms, some new zombies, which are long overdue for Age of Sigmar, and the skeleton guard as well. So what do we think of those guys?
So I really like the skeleton guard. I think they are some of the nicest skeleton miniatures I've seen, period, really.
Yeah.
They've got a good sort of undead look to them, but they also have their own bit of character. And you can kind of, you know, as soon as you know their former guard, you can kind of see it in the way they look, which I think speaks really well. I do kind of sit on the opposite side, and I said this to you during the stream, I'm not a fan of the zombies, purely because they've all got the graves on their back, which just looks a little goofy to me. But I still think they look really. I think the models look really nice. It's just if it was a personal choice, I'd go away from that. My favorite are the vampires, the feral vampire trio. I think they're amazing.
Oh yeah, they look great. And the nice thing with those you could use that in like almost any fantasy game as well, right? Like if you're playing a D&D campaign and like you've got a big, like the big bad is a vampire. Any one of those would be a great mini to represent that on the table.
Sure. What about,
I,
you,
I was just going to say, I do like the new zombies. I think they look really cool. And I think there's like a lore reason as to why they've all got like bits of their grave stuck to them. Because like, I think
if you look carefully at them, they've all had stakes driven through them to stop them rising from their graves. But obviously that hasn't worked.
Well, I mean, they tried.
What about you, Ben? What's your thoughts on the hostiles?
I like all of them, to be honest. This is a box set where it's hitting every button for me. I like the new zombies. I think some of the color choices are a bit weird for them.
All right.
But I think we kind of felt that there was going to be some sort of new zombie. I actually think that this they might rebox these guys just to use as zombies in Age of Sigmar as well.
Yeah.
And this, you know, same goes for the skeletons. You could just use them as
regular skeleton warriors. Yeah.
But I really like the massive zombies with the big crescent axes.
The ogre ones, they're really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like them.
Yeah.
What about the characters? Which one's your favourites from those?
I was going to say, like, the big bad, the ogre vampire, looks excellent in his, like, Cossack gear. And, yeah, it's cool that we've never seen, like, an ogre vampire before either, so that's a neat
addition. I don't think he's an ogre, Josh.
I just think he's a really big dude.
Did they not say on the stream that he's an ogre?
No, I think he's friends with... I think he had, like, friends with ogres. He's got some ogre friends.
He hangs out with them.
I think he's got some...
So the story of Ulfenkarn, which, again, I thought was really neat, that there's all this backstory and lore, is that there are a bunch of noble lines, because it's a huge city, and one of the lines, unbeknownst to the inhabitants of the city, was a vampire bloodline. And he is one of the nobles of this bloodline, because the guy that you said, the sort of imperial noble looking guy, he's from one of the other noble lines of the city. So it's almost like he's come back to reclaim what's his.
Mm-hmm. That's neat. But like all of the adversary heroes look great. I mean, there's a
new Vargulf. What'd you make of that, Josh?
I think he looks awesome. He's not a Vargulf, though. He's called something else.
Like a Varghest, was it, or something like that?
Yeah, but
he's totally a Vargulf, though, right? Like,
yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. He's clearly someone's been looking at the old Vargulf model and drawn a little bit of inspiration from that, to be sure.
Do you know what it reminds me of, though? I really like it, but they did say this on stream. They're kind of like supposed to be this amalgamation of sort of monster, bat, and wolf. And I was kind of looking at it when they said that, and it reminds me, did you ever watch like the Underworld films? And there's like the guy who's a werewolf who gets bitten by a vampire and turns into like weird abomination. It just reminds me quite a bit of that. Much better, but there is definitely a bit of a similarity there.
Well, and the cinematic tie that it kind of reminds me of is in... The Scorsese version of Dracula from the 90s with Gary Oldman. When he transforms into like a wolf creature, it kind of looks a bit like that, like horrible 90s prosthetics. But again, this guy looks really cool.
I thought you were going to go for the Hugh Jackman Van Helsing there for a moment. I think even worse.
Oh my god. Do you know, I have never seen that film.
Probably for the best.
It's not that bad.
It's just like a sort of popcorn horror film.
Yeah, but it's like B movie level of quality rather than like the level it should have been at.
Right.
I think one thing I do think is really nice above and beyond the minis. I was looking at the what's in the box, and I really like the fact that you get the War Scroll book as well. They've done that before with some of it. But I really like that, because that means all this stuff is going to be usable in Age of Sigmar, which will be great, especially for you guys that are more into it than I am.
Well, and
you
know, the fact
do you see as well, like, I've just noticed on the counters and tokens, guys, that it looks like a clock, but it's got the Caradron symbol on it, and they did mention that the Caradron Overlord character is the captain of the ship that brings the characters to the city. So I wonder if there's maybe like a day and night mechanic where they have to like return to the ship within a certain time, something like
maybe,
that.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely, like you say, Tom, that including the War Scrolls for Age of Sigmar is a great move, and you've probably got like a reasonable start to a Death Army in this box, right?
Oh, for sure.
Like, you could
specifically Soulblight, right?
Yes, and that was one thing I was let down by in this reveal is we know that a Soulblight Gravelord's army is coming. But they didn't say anything about it today. I was really expecting to hear at least something.
Before you go off on this rant, Josh, because I know you're impassioned about this.
I'll try and bottle this feeling up.
But I do. Before we move away from this, one thing I have noticed is included in the what's inside the box, there is a secret envelope. Now, none of the others have had that from the Age of Sigmar line. But you usually get those, like in Blackstone Fortress, you get that at the end of completing the main storyline, and it'll be like an item or a plot or something like that. So that suggests to me that unlike Silver Tower and Shadows Over, whatever it was called, this will probably get its own expansions as well, like proper expansions.
Yeah,
yeah,
I think so. Well, I mean, you've seen the map of the city, it's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're hopefully going to give it the Blackstone Fortress treatment and have some additional models come out for it and, you know, scenario packs.
Yeah, some expanded content. Nice. That'd be awesome. Can't continue, Josh. Your soul black.
Commence ranting.
All I was going to say was Games Workshop, I just want to spend more money with you and just give me my vampire army. Right, give me my vampires. I want my vampires.
You've got like stuff here, man. I mean, you should be satiated with this tease.
It's not enough. Not enough.
I want it all. All at once.
I'm ravenous. I need more vampires.
On that note, do you think you will pick this up, Josh?
If you're gonna pick it up, I might give it a pass and just like. If there's any models that I really want to use in a future vampire army, that I'm definitely going to do. I'm assuming I'll probably be able to pick up the models separately, either through Games Workshop or like you know through eBay and the like. With
I imagine so. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're gonna buy it, I'll give it a pass for now. But you never know. You never know. I mean, like, one thing that I really like about what they're doing, I've mentioned this previously, but I like the fact that we're starting to do what I would call, like, normal fantasy again, rather than, like... And I'm not, it's not a dig at the Age of Sigmar aesthetic. I think, like... Ben and I were speaking earlier in the week, and I was saying, it's a really strong model line overall, but it does have a very unique look to it. I like the fact that we're kind of going back to, you know, like the gothic horror,
the grimdark stuff, like,
of like previous Warhammer fantasies, undead.
The thing is,
faction.
Like, they're not mutually exclusive, and I think. For me,
no.
Maybe it's one of the things I've struggled a bit with Age of Sigmar because I do like the grim dark side of things a bit more. There hasn't been a lot of that in the lineup so far. You know, the Stormcast are very, very much away from that. The Lumineth are away from that. Even like the Caradron and the Fire Slayers, they're you know quite removed from that sort of aesthetic. But it does look like they are showing that it still exists within the Mortal Realms.
Well, I think the Caradron model that they've got in Cursed City is quite a good example of how they don't need to be mutually exclusive, right? Because he's got, you know, the sort of more grim dark vibe to him, like the he's got that like creepy respirator, but you can see his head, which is a bit unusual, and then he's wearing the more like that outfit he's wearing. That could have come straight from Warhammer Fantasy, that sort of get up, right?
Yeah.
So and the mortal realms are infinite in span, so there's no reason that there can't be a portion of them that call back to the old world.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think as far as storytelling goes, I think this is what makes the mortal realms a better setting than the old world, because the problem with the old world is that it was constrained to a degree. Yeah. Everything's mapped out. Yeah, you know, literally everything. I mean, it's more or less a copy of our world with like a fantasy overlay on it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was finite, and like you alluded in a previous podcast, Tom, to you had problems like, why are the lizard men from totally not South America fighting against the Empire from Prussia? Whereas in Age of Sigmar, it's like, oh, there's Realm Gates, and they've actually, within the narrative, given every faction a motivation to be moving around trying to grab resources and all that you didn't have in the old world. So yeah, like I said before, Curse City ticks a lot of boxes for me. I've always been quite positive and quite excited about Age of Sigmar. I think in many ways the approach that we're seeing with Age of Sigmar recently vindicates the approach that they had from the beginning, which was to just like ground zero, you know, start again from the beginning, keep it basic, and then let it grow from that. Because the same happened with 40k Warhammer Fantasy, right? They didn't arrive as developed as they are now. That happened over a span of several years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean decades for 40k, right? Between like Rogue Trader, and I think like the aesthetic of 40k was, I think it took them until like the third edition of it to like really ground it in the sort of grim darkness of the future. Particularly when you look at some of the wacky stuff that was going on in second edition 40k, but yeah, it takes a while to get like something like this established. So but yeah, I hope they do more of this, and because you're right, there's no reason why we can't have both within Age of Sigmar. You know, your classic fantasy and your ultra high fantasy as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, looking forward to seeing what comes out in the future. Right, yeah. So is there anything else that I have missed? I'm gonna edit this little bit out, or not? I'm gonna leave it in because that. Because that made it both of you laugh. So,
I don't think there's anything else we've missed. Did we touch on Slaanesh being up for grabs now? In the
no, we didn't.
No, we did not. Slaanesh is out.
Ever the professional. Slaanesh is out. Go buy him. See you later.
Yeah. Peace out.
I like how Ben just throws a peace sign. See you later.
Yeah, we're gonna wow, words.
Ending on a high as always, Josh. I see.
Oh god, it's been a long recording. This is gonna be fun to edit. I'm gonna leave editing this till tomorrow. So.
I like how with every passing week we just break Josh's spirit a little bit more.
Oh, my spirit's broken, man. Like, I'm
a husk of a man.
Yeah, I'm just this vessel is empty.
The grim darkness is no longer restricted to the tabletop, I see.
Not at all, no. Everything is fine. Everything is fine. But I think on that note, we probably should be drawing this to a close now so that I don't have too much editing to do. So, look, guys, thanks as always for listening. And until next time, take care. Bye. We'll be right back.